Thank you so much, and we are just so delighted to continue the studies on the book of Joshua. These are remarkable. I have this penetrating cough that I got the diagnosis, nothing to do about it. So what can I do? Just live with the cough until the last day. There is something that's going to go out. You know, cough is just as many symptoms causes cough. And I want to be sure that my lungs are clear. And after so many tests, the lungs are clear. There is nothing to do with the lungs. So it had to do with stomach reactions. Maybe my wife, she, who knows, you know. But it's okay. I hope I can preach without the cough. We are again on Joshua chapter 2. Now, we were before in the study on Joshua chapter 1, conquering our life in this territory. This is a very deep and profound lesson today. Personally, as individuals who do not know the Lord, or are associated with people who know the Lord, and you do not know the Lord. And then also is a remarkable challenge for you and me as a Christian, given the example of a woman that was absolutely saved. The title is very aggressive, Not the Girl She Used to Be. I have in the Facebook something that our designer put on, two girls dancing like that in the Sunday scripture and in the text of the sermon. And I got over 250 requests. They're saying, Pastor, is it real this? Where is the sermon? Well, you will see. Rahab, at the end of this story, she was not the girl that she used to be. Let me tell you a little thing that I read. You know, I like to read in the University of Oxford in England. They're saying of years and years past. Every morning I read for about half hour. I found something that fit exactly our case. The writing said, once there was a rough, uncultured man who, for some unknown reason, fell in love with a beautiful vase in a shop window. Not very few men do that. I'm one of them. They are like little things. I like to keep things very gorgeous. And this man found that beautiful vase in the shop. Eventually, after looking so much, he bought the vase and put on in the mantelpiece in his room. And once it was there, it became a kind of judgment of the surrounding. All right, he put the mantelpiece, he put this beautiful vase that doesn't match with everything else. He had to clean up the room to make it worthy of that vase so the vase can stand well. The curtains looked dingy beside it, so he had to change the curtains so to match the vase. He had to clean up the room to make it worthy of the, you know, a man living alone. So he cleaned the room well so that the vase looks good. The old chair with the stuffing coming out of the seat should no longer be right for that place. The wallpaper and the paint needed redoing. Gradually, the whole room was transformed. The whole room changed because that vase, so beautiful, came into the place and was put there. And as I read that, I thought that fit our sermon. You know, this reminds me of a text in 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17. You know it by heart. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, said the scripture. Behold, all things have become new. See, when we put Christ on the mantle of our heart, your whole life is transformed and changed and moves on. It is this kind of transformation we witness in Joshua chapter 2. Our brother read half of the chapter. I want to preach in the whole chapter. There is a woman that transformed her life and shined her life all over her country and all over the hearts of two men. The Israelites were about to enter Canaan and claim the promised land. The first city they would have to face was a gray city with a gray wall all around. It was a city called Jericho. If they could take this city, they could easily split the country in two. I thought to myself, why they don't take in a small city in the south and make their way into the hills? But then I had to go to books of generals, how they go into combat of a nation. And they said the way to enter into a nation is to go in the middle. So you split the nation in two and they become wicked, and then you can really move on. And so they take Jericho and they could split the country in two and then move from there to conquer the south and then to conquer the north. Before they attack the city, Joshua sent FBIs, all right? So, you know, FBI, that's their job. Joshua sent two spies into the city to examine the moods of the people. Are they really ready for battle or just relaxing? And to determine whether or not they were ready to face the war. Now, when those men arrived in Jericho, they went to the home of a harlot. Immediately you think, what a rotten guys. You're thinking that way. And I thought in that way, what a rotten guy. When these two men arrive in Jericho, they went to a home of a harlot. Their purpose in entering into a harlot's home was not immoral at all. The reason was very practical. The sight of men entering in a harlot's home would really not attract any attention from anybody. That was a common thing. So you go to a city, here it is. It happened to me in San Francisco. I'm walking in San Francisco. My wife was about 20 feet away, and a pastor of mine that came from Argentina to visit was about 20 feet ahead of me. And then a girl came, all dressed up with the shorts, carried, and said, hey, hi. And I said, and I look at it. And the pastor turned around. And I said, well, what happened to Gabriel? And my wife is watching. He said, come in. He said, we have something for you. And I look on it. I said, where do I go? She said, to this house. I said, you might be crazy. My wife is here, my pastor is here. She ran away. Amazing. You know, they're all over the place. So what he found, really, he found that the home, what they found when they entered the home of Rahab must have been a shock. He thought that, well, here is a prostitute, and the home will be set up in a different way. They found a woman who had already changed by the power of God. When they met Rahab, they found out that she wasn't the girl that she used to be. And that's my title of the sermon. They went into a home of a harlot, and they found a girl that she wasn't the girl she used to be. What I want us to see from these texts is how the Lord takes sinners who will place their faith in Christ Jesus and completely change their life by his power. I want you to see that. I want you to see it, all right? I want to tell you today that Rahab wasn't who she was to be. God changed her life. I would like to see with you first the life of Rahab before, her spiritual failures. Then I want to see with you the spiritual freedom that she found, and then the spiritual fulfillment, because this chapter 2 is loaded, tells you everything, the fulfillment of her life, how she was a victorious and remarkable woman, all right? So let's talk about her spiritual failures. Look at verse 1. You're in Joshua 2. Look at verse 1. Rahab was a sinner. Look at verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. All right? In James, in the book of James, in chapter 2, and in verse 25, the Bible assures us that she was a sinner. And and James 2:25, the Bible said, "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" Look at the beginning of the text said, "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot. So she, Rahab, was a sinner. Now I'm going to make that local. Every one of us is a sinner. Turn your Bible to Romans in chapter 10. And in verse 17, every one of us is a sinner. Romans 3, chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 17. "As it is written," said the scripture, "there is no righteous, no one," said the scripture. "There is none who understand. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, not one. Wow, that's heavy. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known." And if you go to chapter 3, verse 23, you got a summary. The summary of these verses are here: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So Rahab was a sinner. You and I are sinners. We are not about Rahab. Second thing I want to see in their failure is that Rahab not only was a sinner, she was a dead sinner. Look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us something very serious about us. He said, "And you, all of you Ephesians who live in Ephesus, and you he made alive who were dead," necron, the word in Greek for dead is black, necron, "and you were he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And you can see that I'm not dead physically, but I'm dead mentally in understanding God. The Bible tells me in the book of Isaiah, remember 64:6. In Isaiah 64:6, the Bible tells me something about this. "We are all like an unclean thing," he said. "And all our righteousness are like filthy rags," said. "We all fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." In other words, we try to be good. There are religions who say, "Oh, you need to offer this and you need to present this." And as I witness to people, one lady told me, "No, I give this to the church to save me, and I do this so the church can save me," and so on. "And I'm saved because the church will save me." And we try in our mind, but our mind is dead. So cannot think right. See, And the Bible is so clear here. We are dead. Well, how much dead? You're in Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, in verse 18, look at what the Bible says. It's very important. Ephesians 4, 18. Having their, means the Gentiles, their understanding darkens, the Bible. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance that is in them. All right? Because of the blindness of their own hearts, the scripture. That's you and me when we were sinners. We were blind. Somebody will tell us, Jesus died for your sin. What that mean? We had no idea. Sin? Yeah, you're a sinner. Sinner? Yeah. You're alienated from God. You're going to be destroyed in hell. And we want to bring you salvation. Are you crazy? Who told you that? Your mother and father, said people? Oh, we learn from our grandparents. And we count the thing to be saved and so on. And people try. They try, but their minds are dead. So for more than you try, you can't find a way. Rahab was a dead sinner, like you and me are dead. But the worst part of this is that Rahab was a doomed sinner. If you go to your Bible, to the old book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 20, you find there that she was a doomed sinner. All right? Look at what the Bible says. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord your God, I'm reading Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord your God gave you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breath remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them. Now, really affects my heart and affects all the Arabs people who are here. I told them I copy the book of Joshua and I give it to each one of them. Look at what's going to happen to you. The same that happened to the Arabs in the land is going to happen to you again. God is going to burn your heart. Right on. Oh, don't do like this because I have a knife too. Don't worry about it. Get smart. And they hate the book of Joshua. It's in the Bible. All right, look at verse 17. But you shall utterly destroy them, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These are the Arabs that are here. Just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they, why we have to do that, lest they teach you to do according to their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. Don't let those people have anything to do. So she was a doomed sinner. If she die in her sin, she will be completely destroyed. Well, there's no difference with us. If you are a lost sinner, you are in the same situation that Rahab. Look at in John. Look in your Bible in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 3 and in verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. Today, not just 6,000 years ago, but today. John 3 and verse 18. He who believes in him, said the Bible, is not condemned. You're okay, as the Bible said. But he who does not believe, said the scripture, is condemned already. Wow. Because he has no belief in the same and the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, if you have not get the understanding yet, if you are not understanding that God came in the person of his Son to die for you so that you can believe in that and wash away your life and be saved, you are condemned. You are destined to doom again. Well, that's sad preaching, but that's the way it is. Look in John 3:36, what the Bible says. John 3:36 tells us that they abide under the wrath of God. It's very important. He who believes in the Son, said the scripture, has everlasting life. If you believe in the Son, you don't have to worry. I tell you later, we have we had to purchase the last house that we're going to purchase in this earth. So I want to select my box with the tingling lights. And I had a guy here confused. The guy came from Hennings, the funeral home. He was so confused. The fellows had one lightings and radio. And the guy was really shaken. But here's what it is. He who believes in his son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in his son, what the Bible said, shall no see life. Why? Because the wrath of God abides in him. Wow. That's no wholesome preaching, but that's true preaching. That is the situation. All right? Now, in spite of her lifestyle, talking about Rahab, in spite of her pagan background, in spite of her lost condition, God had given her 40 years of grace and mercy for warning. 40 years, Israel was coming from Egypt into the land, and that news came to her. That was grace. Israel is coming. Israel is coming. That is grace. And we preach today, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That's the grace of God about you. Amazing. Amazing when I see that. God gave Rahab at least 40 years. The 40 years of the desert. How much year has God given to you? You know, give me 18. 18 years. A proud guy who wanted to play soccer, who had the jersey of the number one team, had to humble himself and find his grandmother was right. There is a God. It is unbelievable. It is completely unbelievable. How much time has God given you? For how long are you hearing God's message and you disregard it? And you think that this is the message of these people. But this is a message of God. Rahab believed it. She was a miserable person like you and me. Sinners. But God intervened. Secondly, in verses going back to Joshua in chapter 2, Rahab and her spiritual freedom. How these women became saved? What did Rahab acknowledge? Notice the language she used, because there is no place here that the Bible said anything about it. But look in the language that she really used, okay? It is so important. In verse 10, she used this word in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord, and the capital is capital in your Bible, all right, Lord? That's the word Jehovah. I know the Jehovah, the God of Israel. You cannot get one of these Arabs in this town to say Jehovah. You have to kill them to say Jehovah. When I say Jehovah in McDonald's, the whole McDonald's tremble. Oh no! They say like that. They're very expressive. And I say, oh yes! And the man said, come down, said the manager. They're really serious. You have no idea how serious they are. They want to take over this nation for their God. And this is what God did. She said, I know the Lord has given me. Look at in verse 10. For we have heard. So, and not she alone, many others have heard. All right, look at verse 11. And as soon as we heard, did you see that? Notice the language that she uses. Over 40 years since Israel had left Egypt, the news about Israel, their progress, and their power of their God had reached the ears of the people of Jericho. Perhaps I thought travelers went over there and told them the news, people who were traveling. Perhaps people who were fleeing Israel and moving up, they told the people, hey, Israel is coming. Something happened, but they knew. Rahab heard about the God of Israel. It was a message of judgment. It was not a message, oh, if you believe in God, everything is going to go well. You believe in God or you die in hell. That was the message. That was the message. It was a message of judgment. Rahab heard about the God of Israel, a message of judgment. But it introduced her to the true and living God. Yes, there is judgment unless you believe. That introduced her to the goodness of God. In the end, the message that came to her was a message of life. Listen, God still has a message that is being proclaimed around the world today. It is the only message that can take a vile sinner and make him a new creation. And that message is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message tells us about God who loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son, the only begotten son, to die for us. That is the only thing. You remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world, said the scripture, that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 3 days later, after the death of Christ, the same man who died on the cross arose from the dead. And if you ever want to memorize a verse that explains the gospel, that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. And 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 is the explanation of the gospel. It's the scripture telling what the gospel is. The Paul said, here is the gospel. For I deliver to you, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I deliver to you first. I never want to forget that word, because when we came to America, we have no English. 6 months later, after being in the English school, we went to a church in Oakland, who was the president of the seminary that later I studied in there, preaches. And he was hot on the gospel. There was no one Sunday that he would not start his sermon saying, hey, first of all, he said, first of all, I said, look like a ball. And it's going. And I said, Raquel said, what did he say? It looks like he's throwing a ball to somebody. First of all, I said, I don't know where that ball went. But he was first of all. But when you don't know the language, it makes you crazy, all right? So finally, I became friend of the pastor. I was in a church that a missionary from his church was in Argentina. So he said, you have any question? And I said, yeah, I have a question. What ball do you throw in the morning? What? Yeah, you said, for the ball. No. I said, first of all. Oh, I said, that's what it is. First of all, said the scripture, see? He died according to the scripture. And then he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the gospel. He came, he died, he rose again. The only person that is valid, all right? It is the message that you need to hear today. It is the only message that will bring eternal life to a personal dead sinner. It is the only message. Don't look on it, but you know it by heart. Romans 1:16. For I am no ashamed of the gospel that Jesus came, died, and so I'm no ashamed of the gospel, said the scripture, of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then for all the Gentiles. And I keep saying that all over McDonald's. This is the only good news that we have. No Trump news, no new court hearing, nothing. This is the best news that we have. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she heard that through the people. Then Rahab acknowledged the gospel. What I thought to myself, what Rahab accepted. Not only did Rahab hear the message of Israel God, that she followed the message. This message produced a response in her faith and in her heart. The fact that she believed the message is proven by what she says about God. Look at it in chapter 2 and in verse 9. She said, Joshua 2:9, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. All right? This is what she learned. The Lord used the word Jehovah. And look at now what she said in verse 11 of this. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. In other words, she had conviction, is that right? She had conviction. Our heart melted. Verse 12, she again expressed faith in God. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and to me. You know, I read that, and I read that, and as I put it away, and later on I read it again. And I read it again and said, Lord, give me this is in the New Testament too. And it is. In Acts 16, don't look over there, just chat. In Acts 16, 30, the Apostle Paul, the people came and said, what must I do to be saved? And what he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In who? In your household. And that's what she claimed. Where did she learn it? That's what she claims. You save all my family. But they had to be there. They had to believe. Yeah, we save your family, yes, but you have to believe. You have to be in the house. You have to believe that the spies will come and destroy Jericho. You have to believe, all right? Don't look on it because the time, but in Hebrews 11:31, remember the chapter of faith, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:31 these words, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish. By faith. It's not the work that she did that he hid the spies. It's the faith that she had. Isn't it great? It's just absolutely. I thought that this was just remarkable and marvelous. Finally, the spiritual fulfillment. She was fulfilled in her labor. One of the surest proof that Rahab was generously converted is the fact that she involved herself with the work of the Lord. She hid the spies, remember? She lied to the people. Lie is not condemned in the Bible. It's only recorded, but not condemned. But I find out that there was a bunch of people who lie in the Bible. Abraham lied in Genesis 12. Isaac lied in Genesis 26. David lied in 1 Samuel 21 and in 2 Samuel 12. Elijah died in 2 Kings 6. See, we cannot condemn her life, but must see in this case the lesser evil. All right? Now, Rahab was a pagan. She was raised in a corruption. She had no idea. People lie like dirt over there. She was a believer, but she was never being taught. Amazing. She had never read the Bible. She had never heard the commandments of the Lord in Exodus 20, that thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. She never heard that. She was fulfilled in her labor. She was fulfilled in her love. In verses 12 to 13, she passed it in a marvelous way. Look at the verses 2 to 7, what the Bible said in Joshua. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search the country. So the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, bring out these men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search the country. And the women took the men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut that when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. As soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. See, it is amazing. It is amazing how she did the work of God. And then she was fulfilled in her work. The same chapter, chapter 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me. Look at what she said to the men. By the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, that all have all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And those people their life was really totally fulfilled. You have to go to chapter 6 in the book of Joshua for this. And in verse 20 to 26, I read it for you, how the Lord fulfilled this for her. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. I'm reading Joshua 6:20. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, ox, spread, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out of the country, go into the harlot's house. And he said, from there, bring out the women and all that she has, as you saw her. And the young man who was there and the spies went on and brought Rahab and her father and everybody there. They brought it out into the place. I tell you, she was a prostitute, but she gathered a new reputation. If you go to Matthew 1:5, you find the record of her. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 5, the Bible really shows us that she got a new reputation. Look at this. Simon begat Boaz by who? By Rahab. Rahab was taken from the house of shame and went up in the hall of fame, because Matthew chapter 1 is the hall of fame of those who were the people that brought Jesus into life. A sinner like Rahab, a harlot, was brought into the hall of fame of my Lord. Is God good? Is God good? Is God wonderful? Is God, I said, remarkable? She not only was saved by the grace of God, but she exhibited that grace as she put her life on jeopardy and helping those people. I thought myself, what would be a good expression and text and a good remembrance of this? Well, number one, if you are an unbeliever, I want you to know that you need to stop playing, because this is serious business. God is not in business of just talking. One day he's coming. And as I hear the news on radio and TV, the day is closer. One day is coming. And if you are not saved like Rahab, believe the little thing you know. You don't have to know theology. You have to know what you know. You're a sinner. And you need the blood of Christ on you. The reason why Rahab was spared, because there was a scarlet blood on her wall. And 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that we have a scarlet blood of Christ in our heart. Also, I thought as a Christian that now I'm a person who knows the Lord, and I know the Lord. And I thought in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now a person who is put in charge as a manager should be found faithful. And I thought to myself, Gabriel, how much reflection of that new life you show in your neighborhood and the place you go, would the people know this, that there is a different person? I finish with this for the people in the radio. Please cheat the other guy and give me a few minutes. the man who want to sell us the last house we're going to buy in this earth, and the box we're going to be. I was a little confused, of course. I told him, I need a light for reading and this and so on, and the guy don't know what to do. But he said, what inscription you want to put on? I thought, I don't have it yet. Then after the sermon, I got it. Gabriel wasn't who used to be. I hope you can say that with your heart. I am not the person that I used to be because of Jesus. Grace has touched my heart. Not only that I need a Savior, but that I need to exhibit that Savior. I need to show the people that I'm not the same person that I used to be. May God give us grace to do it. Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing of the scripture. Sometimes I cry. My wife said, because you are old. But I said, because I as an old person, I feel the blessing of knowing you. I feel the blessing of loving people to know you, because heaven is real and Jesus is real. Help me to exhibit to the people that I'm not the person that I used to be. In Jesus, I pray. Amen.